Lynn, I'm going to take that phrase with me. Let us be holy here. Boy, that resonates in a lot of different directions. Maybe we can learn here to be holy there. Yeah, as we begin this worship service today, we do so with a meditation, and that is in many ways to make space for all that is to come and to put a little banner out under which everything I hope might fall. And this banner is under a single word, believe. As you know, we've been walking on our way to Easter and picking up a word every step of the way on the road that we carry with us to the cross and beyond to Easter. And so I want you to imagine with me, and it may not resonate with you in quite the same way. It might not even seem sermon worthy, but bear with me. Imagine for a moment you've just bought a dishwasher, which our family had to do in the last year. And you've read the manual backwards and forwards. And of course, you know the manuals in multiple languages. You know it in all the languages. You can recite the manual, long sections of it at least, and you truly believe that the dirty dishes go in there. And if you add detergent and if you press the buttons, then clean dishes are going to come out. But what if all you ever did with that knowledge was to admire it from a distance, praise its beauty, marvel at its engineering, but you never put a single dirty dish in? All that belief doesn't really amount to much until you act on what you believe about the dishwasher. Then you can see what it's really capable of. Well, today in John's Gospel, we're going to be reading a section of John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 and 35. And Jesus challenges us in that passage to believe. And he's not talking now about just an intellectual exercise. He's not talking about a technique for us to get what we want out of God. He's describing a transformational trust that changes lives. And so Jesus calls us to a daily kind of believing that builds on good words and good thoughts and builds the kind of life that is good and reflective of God in the world. It's going to affect how we treat others, how we move through the world. It's going to shape how we live. Jesus says, believe in John chapter 6, and it is a big word. And so we're going to spend just a little time today with it so that we might continue to get ready for Easter. So let's dive in. John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you were looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent. And so they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus, the bread of life, wants to broaden the breadth of our belief. In this passage today, Jesus has just fed the multitude and he's just walked on water. and the crowd in awe follows him across the lake to Capernaum. And there they find Jesus, and he challenges them to look past what they can see, that is, the miracles, and to believe in what he offers. He's offering himself. Jesus wants them to see everything in a brand new way. He wants them, in a sense, to take a God's eye view. Only then will they be able to see what God is doing. God so loved the world that Jesus was sent into the world to make a way for the world as it is to become the world God has always wanted it to be. And so believing in Jesus aligns us with that God's eye view. It's a perspective that goes beyond our sight, it goes beyond sound, it goes beyond smell, and it's eternal view of an eternal place, of an eternal life with God. That's an amazing vision. And like they did so long ago, you might be thinking, sign me up. What do I have to do to get that? But it turns out it's not earned like that. There's no merit badge for it. Instead, Jesus says the work of God is this, to believe in the one who was sent. And that word, believe, here, it means to trust, to have faith, to rely on. It's more than an intellectual achievement. It's a transformed life. It's about giving ourselves to Jesus, who has given himself to us. And it echoes the scriptural refrain all the way back into Genesis. First, is in early Genesis, it says, Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abram's belief was a steadfast trust that was converted into action. And so believing moves beyond acknowledging Jesus toward a personal relationship with God through Jesus. It's about trusting Jesus enough to allow what we believe about him to shape our lives, in our actions, in our decisions, in our interactions. It's about living out that trust in ways that reflect God's love and Jesus' grace. Biblically speaking, the breadth of belief is basically that distance between our words and our actions. And sometimes they can be pretty far apart. But our belief is the bridge that spans the two. And so in our personal lives, it means that believing in Jesus is going to trust God like Jesus did for personal provision. That provision is not just about our physical needs, of course. It's also about our emotional and our relational and our spiritual lives. There's a very tender story in 1 Kings 19 where the burnt out, beleaguered prophet Elijah is on the run, and there in the wilderness, hiding in a cave, he simply falls down, broken, depressed, and about to throw in every last towel he was carrying with him. And God meets Elijah in the wilderness, sends an angel who provides food and water to sustain him, and even more, the assurance that Elijah is not alone. Not only is God present with him, but Elijah is going to give him a new companion, a person we meet a little later named Elisha. God knows our needs. This is at the heart of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He explains how God knows that you need food. God knows that you need drink. God knows that you need more. And seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all of those things will fall into their proper place in your life after that. But of course, there's more to personal provision than what we know we need right now. Can you also imagine that God might know what you need in ways you're not yet aware of? Let's pause for a minute and just think about Juliet Gordon Lowe. She's a devoted Christian. She founded the Girl Scouts in 1912. And that founding, I think, was in part built on that sort of anticipatory provision. You know, the Girl Scout motto is this: to build girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. And Scouts, I'm here to tell you that you may not know just how much you might need things like confidence or courage or character, but look at the men and the women here who have lived just a little longer, and they're nodding at me because they know those virtues get tested by living our lives out in the world. Personal provision means that right now you are being provided for more than you know you need. But when you find that you need it, have it. That's at the heart of provision. Believing in Jesus for personal provision involves those two parts. It's trusting that God is attentive to the needs that we know, and it's also relying on God to care for the needs that we might not yet even be aware of. And that's quite a thought. And as Jesus calls us to broaden our belief, as Jesus connects us to God's personal provision, that third dimension of believing, of course, if we believe in Jesus, it is going to involve our response. Believing is participating in a worldwide witness. Faith takes us from the personal experience in our lives and out into global service. Whether it's around the corner or around the world, believing is sharing the bread of life that we've received. Now, Annie Armstrong, whose name you heard, was not a Girl Scout. She was a Baptist. She's a Christian who had learned to trust God's personal provision in her life in such a way that she took it out on a life journey to educate and to motivate Christians in churches, men and women, to provide for their neighbors in Jesus' name. And one of the things that I really admire about Annie Armstrong was the relentless advocacy that she provided and offered on behalf of marginalized communities of her age. And I want to remind you that she was a woman in the late 1800s. It was not always in a good position to get a very fair hearing in circles, religious circles, political circles, or otherwise. Nevertheless, she persisted and used what she had to make a tremendous impact. Talk about courage, talk about confidence, talk about character. Beyond all of her personal work, she is also a founding figure of the Women's Missionary Union, which carries that mission to women and to men in Baptist churches even today. I grew up as a child in a Baptist church, and Annie Armstrong taught me that Jesus is not just my bread. And Jesus is not just your bread. Jesus is our bread. Bread for the world. And it's a joy to share. I ran across a story about a group in Seattle that formed on Facebook during the pandemic. They're called the Community Loaves Group. And what they do is they bake homemade loaves of bread and they donate them to local food banks. It's been operating for about 4 years now. And they took their first baby steps in April of 2020. I was reminded, it was just about this time 4 years ago, we were parting ways and saying, see you later. Maybe 8 weeks, right? Well, they started baking bread. The first donation they made in April was 19 loaves, just a handful of bakers. And it's customary as they bake their bread, they don't just give it all away. They keep some for themselves. There's always enough to share. And so they keep one loaf. They might donate three or four. But now, to date, Community Loaves has shared a total of 145,432 loaves and 101,004 energy cookies. They've gone to 46 food banks, 60 neighborhood hubs in Washington and Idaho and Oregon and California. And their founder summarizes the future of Community Loaves like this: our impact is limited only by the size of the baking brigade. More bakers means more donations. I'll say it again. Jesus is bread for the world, and he is a joy to share. And so believing is bigger than we think. It's more personal than we always know for ourselves. It's a relentless call to a worldwide witness. It is a big word. And as we cross the threshold now into a wider experience of worship, you might protest, even this morning, Jesus, I don't think I have enough belief. But let me tell you just one more story. This is about Jesus Berzon. He's a baker in Miami, and he learned to bake bread watching YouTube videos. He fled Venezuela in 2008 and came to the U.S. as a refugee. And now he owns the Caracas Bakery in Miami. And despite all of the temptations to set it all down, to pursue this path and this passion, he persisted. He endured, he persevered, and now the bakery that he owns is a beloved spot in his neighborhood. It has multiple locations. And that's quite a leap when you think about it, from learning to bake on YouTube to owning a multi-site bakery that is a gathering spot and a hub for community life. Every step, though, it seems to me, was just another chance to exert more trust. That's what it is for us, too. We don't take one giant leap, but step by step, day by day, you extend your trust and your reliance a little more, and you'll find God faithful. And as you share the joy of what you're discovering, you find that it's true. God really loves me. God really loves you. And you keep doing that, and you're going to be amazed where you end up. And you're also going to have to take the first step, and the next, and the next. Jesus said that belief the size of just a little seed could move a mountain. And so maybe today you bring just a little bit. Maybe it's like just one caramel delight, which is the best cookie. Fight me on it. Oh, it might seem small, but it has power to bring immense joy. May it be so. Whatever believing you have, whether a lot or a little, bring it all now to this time and trust, rely, and believe that God will do the rest. Amen.